body together as opposed to enter into these things. So you're guaranteed, honestly, you're guaranteed by your presence here as a part of this body, you're going to enter into your inheritance. See, in 12 months' time, every single person will enter into that thing that God has designed for them. The waiting time is not from God. I've seen it clearly. The hindrance is not from God. Abraham was there for 24 years. He deviated from the path. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. In 1 year, Abraham entered into the inheritance. So it is not anything on God's path, but we have decided from our hearts, and as a body, we will all put everything, we'll enter into the same, because it says, and to comprehend with all the same. So it's a joint thing. Because when they were together in one accord, in one place, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled, not one exception. All filled. All filled. And it says, this Christianity, it says that we'll come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ unto a perfect man together with all the saints. It's a complete thing. It's a together thing. Everybody, honestly, everybody will enter 12 months. 12 months. 12 months. And we're going to do it together. We're going to push into this thing and we'll enter into that inheritance. We're talking about the inheritance, the thing that God has prepared for us before the foundations of the earth. Father, we give you thanks. That's the essence of Christianity. So we're going to talk about a few things today before we go into the declarations. We're going to go to the fundamentals. I was thinking, Lord, what is it? I said, let's just go back to the fundamentals. And build for the fundamentals into the place of perfection. And I will start with something I called our identity. Because it is so important to actually have a grasp of this, because I believe it is the foundation of everything. The Bible says, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Because if men are not rooted in a knowledge of their identity, what happens is that they try to practice things and it becomes a burden. They try to practice things and it becomes work. It becomes hard because they're not rooted in their identity. So God says, when show them their identity, let us talk about their identity. And that identity is rooted in one fact, that God loves us so much that he actually called us into this blessed gospel. It's important in the natural realm. Let's look at it. We're going to talk about it. In the natural realm, your identity is so important. There's nothing you can do on the earth. Any transaction you want to do, you need your identity. You want to open a bank account, where is your passport? You want to go to school, where is your passport? What is your child's name? Where is your passport? You want to even do driving tests or driving lessons. They'll call you and say, where is your passport? Proof of address, proof of name. You must have it. So in the spirit realm, to carry out any transaction, your identity must be intact. It's a parallel. And if you don't have it, just imagine, say, where's your passport? You say, I don't know what my passport is. I don't have it. I don't know. I don't have my identity. You can't move. You say, I'm sorry. We cannot proceed with this transaction without evidence of who you are. So it is in the spirit realm. People are trying to carry out transactions without being rooted in their identity. I'm not talking about what you do or the work you do. No. I'm talking about the career you have. No. I'm talking about your identity in Christ Jesus. Because that is a superior thing compared to every other thing. So it's a parallel. And the word shows us, the word of God shows us our legal identity and our official identity. Look at what the sons of Sceva, they wanted to go and do the works of Paul. That's the problem people have. They wanted to go and do the works of Paul without understanding their identity. They entered strange territory. That's all set of respect in the spirit realm. Men don't know their identity. Says, Paul, I know, he has established himself in his identity. Jesus, I know. I'm sorry, guy, you can't carry out this transaction. Say, they dealt with them, they beat them. Who are you? Who are you? Do you know who you really are? Not theoretically, but in actual practice. And this identity is found in God's Word. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that actually reveals it to us. When you do that, look, folks, We have to grab that inside our inner man. That's where it starts from. Because when everything else has collapsed, the only thing with that identity, when everyone has deserted you, that's the only thing that you will see. Look, when Jesus Christ, that's the only thing. Everybody forsook him, but my identity is intact. So understand that. It's very important. Very important. Very important. And many people live and die without really finding out who they actually are. They might be doctors. They might be lawyers. They might even be preachers. But their true identity have not been discovered. I remember Higgins said people go to be with the Lord without even entering the first phase of God's plan for them in life. So let's understand it's very crucial and it is so foundational. But we must understand it. Paul said that if I don't put you in remembrance of this thing, I'll be negligent. You know when you are negligent in medical practice? It means that you are negligent. That means they can put you in prison. So in the courts of heaven, as a minister of the new covenant, if you are not put in remembrance regarding these things, they may look so basic, it's negligence. See, I will not cease to put you in remembrance. I will not be negligent to do that. So let's understand that. We're going somewhere from here. Some people in the course of life pick up other people's identities. It's okay. But a time will come in life. We have to discover who you really are. And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me, then I ceased to confer with flesh and blood. A time will come, you have to stand on your own. A baby will feed. A baby, they give him milk. But a time will come, when he's 18, he has to start and discover who he really is. His mother will not come and give him milk again. So let's understand this. It's very important because I enter crucial periods in the realm of the spirit. And only people that know who they really are, identity, will be able to survive the times coming. And Lord Jesus Christ, church is like their spiritual houses. That's what we must support one another. There are different churches, but their spiritual house. It's not the building. Their spiritual house, a nucleus of people, spiritual houses that will be a city of refuge. In the house of God. Seriously. It is not the spiritual connection. It is the spiritual connection connected to the vine in the kingdom that counts. Because I saw it. There were houses that were floating about. Different churches floating about. And there was so much turmoil on earth. They were like spaces of security run into, not in the physical building, but their connection with other men, with their spirits, worshipping Jesus. Let's understand that. It's very important. Very, very important. Very important. This Christ is not a physical entity. It's a spiritual organism which has several cells on the earth. That's why we're all one. We're united. I mean, it doesn't matter the church you go. That unity in the spirit is important. So there are spiritual houses, and you must be connected to a house. You must be connected. You must be connected because Satan's plan is to isolate and destroy. You must be connected to a particular body of people where you are believing together, pushing together, praying together, confessing. You must be connected. You cannot survive. Jesus says the church is marching on and the gates of hell cannot prevail. He said the church, the group of people, the ecclesia, who are gathered together is marching on in different locations on the earth and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So join yourself to an ecclesia. Your locality. Honestly, it's so important in this time. It's so important. I can't overemphasize it. Very important. And participate with them. Don't isolate yourself. Participate in prayer. Rather than confess, participate with a body. Because we're entering into strange times, though. You think it's just Africa? No. Let's understand that. So, some identify themselves with a problem. I said, Simon the leper. Divorcee. I mean, people take that, they put it upon themselves. Say, I'm a divorcee. I mean, understand this. These are truths. When people begin to say that over and over again, they not take on that identity into themselves. Understand that. Alcoholic. An identity. An identity. So begin to understand this. We're going somewhere. Some identify themselves so strongly with their profession. They live for their work. It's important to have a profession. As a Christian, look. Let me tell you. the only true and authentic identity about you. See, even as a preacher, let me tell you something. God will tell me, look, for a season, that's not my true identity. Being a pastor is not my identity is in Christ Jesus. For example, I'm a pastor, I've been a pastor for 10 years, I'm going to say, okay, now it's time to go to the field. Will I say that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I go to the field and become a missionary. Or I want to promote you to the office of an apostle. You know? So there are phases. Let's understand that. It's good. You have identity on there. People know you. People know me as a doctor or as a preacher. But I'm talking about the identity in Christ Jesus. You understand that? You understand that? First thing to understand, we need to shift our focus. We have other identities, fine, but that must be the uppermost thing on our mind. Because those other things can pass away. We say the earth and all the glory of man will fade away. The only thing that will last forever is the word of God, which gave birth to you. There are certain things, certain scriptures that God used to form you in Christ Jesus. Those are the things that must form the content of your identity. So if everything fades away, you will still stand and say, look, that's just a temporary thing. Understand that? Because the way we are now thinking, we are thinking about eternity. That's what we are thinking about. I mean, not eternity as in, we are thinking about, it's a continuum. That's what we are thinking. It's a continuous process. I'm not going to be a preacher in heaven. But my identity is intact. Let's know that. Some people identify more with what they do than who they are. Your identity is much greater than what you are doing. It's much greater. I want us to have a paradigm shift. So that's why you will stand and say, when things begin to shake on the outside, you will laugh. I know who I am. This is just a temporary thing. I know who I am. Let me tell you, even in marriage, you're not going to marry in heaven now. I say, when all else, you have to know who you really are. That's what I'm trying to say. And when you lose that thing that they have hinged all their entire life on, then crisis starts. When they lose certain relationships, crisis, because they're not rooted in their true identity. So people have identity in race, in color. So people describe themselves by their strengths or weaknesses or physical appearance. You know, you might have some identification in the natural, but to navigate the path of your destiny, you need to understand your identity in the spirit. You can't navigate in the spirit realm. Like I said, you need your passport. And your passport, probably your proof of address for any natural transaction. So in the spirit realm, you need your identity intact. So it's this foundation for you to navigate in the spirit realm. Let's understand that. Now, I'm going to go slowly. I'm going to try and explain certain things. You are now someone different. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1. Because to be honest, a Christian is not the same as an unbeliever. See, you might be waiting at work and everything. You are completely different. And we have to begin to understand that. No matter how far he has advanced, no matter how much wealth he has, no matter nothing on the outside, you are completely different. And you won't really see that. Because if you're measuring by outside things, except you understand your true identity in Christ Jesus. Genesis chapter 1. Now let's go back to the original man and how this thing really happened. Genesis chapter 1. So you have Adam when God created man. Adam was like the master in terms of, you know, when you have, I like the way Badaki put it the other day. I was talking about the new creature. I remember the message. It talked about the original and the photocopy. When you have an original and a photocopy, so you have a color copy or something, the original and the copy, they look basically the same. So Adam was like the original or the master copy. Let's look at what God said here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And look at what God said. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So that was the blueprint. He said, be fruitful. Imagine Adam was created, and the first thing he heard was, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. And if you go to, okay, that's it, that's what he said. And God saw that it was good. So that was, Adam was the prototype, was the blueprint, and it was the master copy. So there was no defect in Adam. It was completely perfect. And basically, and God said, multiply. So I want the copy, I want you to reproduce yourself, the reproduction, to produce other people in that same likeness and image. Now, God didn't create multiple people. He created Adam and Eve, so then to multiply. So every other copy would have been like the blueprint, master print, perfect and everything. That was the plan. But when sin came, the blueprint became corrupted. And as a result, the copies were all corrupted. So the copies had no choice. Just imagine if you have a sheet of paper, you photocopy, and there's ink poured on it. No matter how much you, I mean, once you photocopy, the ink will be there. It wasn't the copy's fault. It wasn't the copier's fault. The ink will be there. So that's why they say you are shaping in iniquity, not because of what you did, not because of anything you did, just because you came from Adam. You know, you say, as in Adam, all died. So it doesn't matter, even the person was the most holy person. You know, he didn't do anything wrong in himself. But because of the original copy, he was corrupted. So now, we are now new creatures in Christ. Christ came and made us alive. We'll go into depth. I will just summarize. And now your identity now is who you are in Christ Jesus. So what happened? Christ came and put that entire human race in Adam to death. And a new race came into being, which is a new creature. So that entire Adamic race was put to death on the cross. That means God's judgment was put on that man and he died. So he took the sins of the... He took everything regarding... And he put that race... A new race. That race completely died and a new race started. So in the realm of the spirit, there's only Adam as one race and Christ as the other race. That's what happened in the realm of the spirit. There are only two races. So that entire race was put to death and a new race came into being. Understand that. Very important. So the judgment of God came upon that man, and Jesus Christ paid the full price for the sin of Adam. He paid the full price. God is a just God. He wouldn't allow Jesus Christ to rise up from the dead if the full price wasn't paid. He's a just God. He cannot do injustice. So he paid the full price. When he was tortured, he went to hell. He paid the full price, and God said, okay, the fact that he rose up from the dead is an evidence that the full price was paid. That's the evidence. So the full price has been paid. There's no price to pay anywhere. For the whole of humanity. But just that they haven't come to realization. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taken away the sin of the whole world. He paid the full price. So now, that race was completely destroyed, gone. Now a new race has come into being. The new creature has come into being. A new race of people with the identity now in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. I will say something. Right. Your spiritual identity, which is who you are in Christ, supersedes all. Supersedes all. Your profession, your career, it supersedes everything. That is why you must be rooted in that identity. The same way you study to establish your identity on the earth. You have to study to establish that identity in the spirit. I'm going somewhere. Things have happened to people naturally, positive or negative, and have had a great impact in their lives. People might have been abused, people might have been mistreated, people have gone through several harsh situations before they went into Christ and after they were in Christ. But I've gone through several things. And those things that have formed and almost attached themselves as their identity. Before, listen to me, before they were in Christ and after they were in Christ. But what happened to you in Christ is greater than anything that has happened to you or will ever happen to you. Because the enemy is tricky. So you say you are now in Christ. You now did this thing. When you're not in Christ, I mean, you say you now did this thing. What's, no. The identity in Christ is far greater than anything that can happen. This reality swallows up your old identity. It swallows up anything that's contrary to it. It swallows it up. But I want to show you how to actually, in practice, swallow it up. And what's the action? Is to drill with the help of the Spirit those things into our consciousness. See, look. Is to drill those things into our consciousness. In Christianity, there's no time you get, I was thinking about it deeply, that you will stop rehearsing those things you are in Christ Jesus. Because people can get carried away. They have even gone for a house, gone for a car, for a career, for a this, for a that. You can get moved away from Him that has called you and forget who you really are. So in Christianity, that does not, it's just like, no matter how high you are in society, they still require your passport. When you are traveling, no matter, even if you are the ambassador, if you are the president, your passport is still required when you are traveling abroad. Your passport is still required when you are doing transactions. The same way in Christianity, that identity will still be required no matter how far you have gone. Let's understand that. So we must place our new creation realities and who we are in Christ as part and parcel of our daily confessions. That's what we're getting to. You cannot see. You cannot stop it. It is in the Spirit. And you cannot rise above that understanding, honestly. You cannot rise above the understanding of who you really are. You cannot rise above it. See, listen, you cannot rise above an understanding of who you really are in the Spirit. You can acquire things materially. We're talking about in advancing and fulfilling God's destiny for your life. You cannot. And your greatest reality, really, to be honest with you, is the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, when people go through things, you know, and because of the way they grew up in life, you know, so there are so many voices in there, and none of them without significance. Paul said, you've heard so many voices, and none of them without significance. That means voices are deliberate things to cause you to begin to think in a particular way. Make no mistake. Paul said, none of them without significance. And the people have grown up with that from birth up till now. And people are in an identity crisis. Identity crisis. Now, I want to ask you a question. Your parents gave birth to you and you grew up. They gave you, at birth, they gave you a name. Abi. They called you David or Joseph. Now, I know people give, in some traditions, everybody give grandfather, great-grandfather, they give names. But it's the ones your parents give you that really, really sticks, have you? You have a right, have you? Now, who created you in the Spirit? Who made you a new creature? God. And God has a right to tell you who you are. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm getting at. God has a right to tell you who you are. Let nothing or no one dictate who you are. God is the only person on earth that has the right to tell you who you really are. Don't allow circumstances, don't allow any man, any situation dictate who you really are. It says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and rejoice only in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Our true and authentic identity is who God has made us. We will not accept a false identity from man or give ourselves a false identity on the earth. Our only true identity is who we are in Christ Jesus. And it says all that heaven is, all that heaven has, and all that heaven will be is in the seed that was planted inside us by the miracle of the new birth and by the activity of the Holy Ghost. Eternity is inside your spirit. Honestly. Eternity is in your spirit. Let's look at a few examples in the Bible. And now we're just going into, we'll start today on how to actually, you know, the pattern on how to actually come into a realization of this true identity we are, of who we really are. Let's go to a few examples. Go to Gideon. I won't go to the scripture because of time. What did God say to Gideon? Gideon was fashioned and his mind was completely destroyed because of all the adversities. And he lost his identity. God came to tell him, God said, Gideon, I created you. I know who you are. Mighty man of valor, come out. Gideon said, ah. That's the same thing that's happening today. He says, mighty man of valor. Gideon said, no. Everything around me says the contrary. That's why we must be careful. Please, we must be careful. People, if I remember someone told me that, you're a manager, you have the character of a manager. I went to God in prayer and said, I decided to accept that I'm a manager, I'm not an initiator of things, you're a manager, No. Go and find out from God only, who are you? People will define you. The world will define you. The world will squeeze you into its own mold if you don't discover your identity. There's no vacuum in the realm of the spirit. This is a wake-up call to go back. Go back. Father, we give you thanks. It is so important. Abraham. When you guys are going to read it. It says, Abraham. Your name is Abraham. But I'm changing your name to Abraham. That's the identity now you must be. Sarah, from Sarai to Sarah. Jacob, from Jacob to Israel. Just show you how important that identity is. There has to be a change of identity for them to fulfill God's purpose. That's why God put that identity. He said, you guys, come up actually and find out who you really are. So that you'll be able to do what I've sent you to do on the earth. That's what it basically says. Because the loss of this life, cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things, they can distract. You know. Let's understand that. So I was talking about Adam and Christ. So every single person died in Adam, and in Christ, everyone has been made alive. So also what happened now, when Christ, Romans 5:12, let's go back there. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We'll go to that scripture. So when Christ rose from the dead, he became the master. He was a master copy. And he was supposed to reproduce. So what God did really was to put everything he wanted in a new creature in Christ Jesus. Everything he wanted in you, he put it in Christ Jesus. So when you now come into Christ, you become all that. Let's go to Romans 5:12. Let's go there and see. What does he say? He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so as by that prototype or that master copy, sin entered into the world, and what happened? When sin entered, death entered, sickness entered, disease entered, depression entered, everything that has the ramification of death in it entered through that avenue. So nobody should tell me any story that sickness of, it's repulsive. That poverty is of God. I mean, where does it come from? Those are elements of death. that disharmony is of God. It's not possible. Death entered in the spirit. Let us continue. Death entered and spread upon all men so that all have sinned. So death passed upon all men, whether they had done anything wrong or not, it was irrelevant. Let's understand this thing clearly. That means, I mean, how can you say that works now? How can you walk and it's not possible. No matter how good you are, no matter how righteous you are, no matter how holy you are, you are still in death. He says, nevertheless, death reigned. I mean, had rulership from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, was the figure of him to come. That's what he said there. So it didn't matter what you did. Now Christ came, let's go on, but now not as the offense, also as the free gift. For it to be the offense of one man, many be dead. Much more. Much more. That means if you look outside and you see the effect of death, you see what death has produced, you see the crime rate, you see the number of people that are dying, you see children with malformations, you see people born with disease and sickness, you see things on the earth that death has caused by woman's disease. You say much more. That means the effect of righteousness should far exceed that. That's what we say. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift shall reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll probably end there. We'll continue next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. We'll stop there today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's start from I was in my sister's house. I was looking at television, so I saw her glasses like that. I took a glass and I put it on. Everything was so clear. I said, no. Everything was so clear. I said, what's happening there? I said, everything was so clear. I said, oh, no, I said, no, but I'm fine. Okay, let's improvise. Sometimes you won't know until you know. See, that's because she said, you will not know that you are living a lower life until you see something different. I said, so you mean that's why visibility is the most important thing. So we pray that prayer. See, the most important prayer we pray that God open my eyes, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because there's no power greater than what Christ wrought. I mean, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the greatest expression so far in history of the power of God ever. That power that raised Jesus Christ, he said, the exceeding greatest of his power that raised him from the dead. That's the greatest expression so far of the power of God. The creation of the new man. The greatest miracle that has taken place on the earth so far. And that same power now resides inside you. Yeah. No, we have to retrace our steps. I want to know what really dwells. It says, according to the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and you have he quickened. It's inside you. 7 Corinthians 5:7. Let's start from 15. And in that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we had known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth now know we him no more. What are these guys saying? That they understand this thing clearly. Look, you're more than I see you are. You're more than I see you are. You're more than what I see of you on the outside. You're more than what I see of you on the outside. You're all more than that. They will not know any man after the flesh. We'll not know that every man in Christ has a different identity that we would not know. We're just seeing you like this. There's something that's taking place inside you. We would not know that man on the inside. That man on the inside is 1,000 times bigger than the man on the outside. That man on the inside is greater than he that is in the world. We're looking at you. They're looking at you like, no, you're not an ordinary person. there's someone on the inside of you that is far greater than everything on the outside. That's someone on the, that is far greater than any situation you face. That's someone on the inside of you that is far greater than anything that can come against you. There's someone on the inside of you that is so great that nobody can touch. There's someone on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you. He now said, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. Because something has taken place. A new race, a new being, a new set of people, a new class of men have stepped into the earth. So therefore, if any man be in Christ. And he even says something, though we knew Christ after the earth, henceforth, that means the Christ they knew is different from this Christ we're talking about. Understand this. The Christ that walked the shores of Galilee is different from this Christ we're talking about. So we knew Christ after the flesh, but now the Christ we know has resurrected, and he cried and said, all power is given unto me. See, therefore, if any man be in this Christ we're talking about, in this anointed one and his anointing, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Listen to me. All things have become new. And all things that have become new are of God. Look at that. All things have become new. Listen. All things in your life have become new. All things in your life are now of God. All things in your life are now of God. All things in your life are now of God. If anything manifests that doesn't look like the similitude of God, you have to aggressively cut it off. Listen to me. It says, all things in this new creature are of God. All things. All things. All things in your life are now of God. Sickness cannot dwell in God's body. Disharmony cannot dwell in God's environment. All things are now of God. So all things in your life are now of God. So look at it. Anger cannot dwell in God. Envy cannot dwell in God. No. That's the part of a new creature. Sickness cannot dwell in God. All things, he says, all things have become new, and all things are now of God. Disease cannot dwell in God. So when it comes like that, say no. No way. I'm not going to accept this. All things in my life are now of God. All things in my life are now of God. Now we're going to know, we're going to see now how we're going to transfer. You will say, no, this is not of God. You might be like, this is not of God. This is not who I am. No. Like I said, I might have done what you said I did, but I'm not who you said I am. You might have been angry and shouted. You say, no. All things are of God. That is not of God. Failure is not of God. I mean, failure is not of God. Poverty is not of God. Strife is not of God. Anger is not of God. So, you know, all things I manifest from my being are now of God. Everything that emanates from me, the new creature, is now of God. Understand, let that truth enter into your consciousness. Because what actually happened, there was a substitutionary work. That means Christ took your place, that as far as God is concerned, you now went together with Christ. There's one. Christ took your place. He died. He was buried and he rose again. In the eyes of justice, in the eyes of God, you together with Christ went to the cross. You together with Christ in him were crucified. You together with Christ as a new man was raised up together. So you, in the eyes of God, satisfied the claims. You were in him when it happened. There's substitution, then there's identification. That means you were one with him in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. You have to see that. And that's why this week. So this is serious business now. It's going to be called 30 days in him. 15 to 20 minutes every day. By internet. If you want to connect, we'll connect. We'll say the Ephesians prayer. They will make confessions together of the realities in him. I have here 152 confessions in him. No, it's serious business now. You know, we have to enter in. As if we enter in together into this thing. As a body. I read one more scripture. Just because of time. You see, we'll continue next week. Look at the scripture. Galatians 2:20. Let's go there. Because this is the foundation. Once you have this right. Oh my God. In fact, I'm showing your mind. You can speak to, you call fish. If a bird is disturbing your house, say, bird in the name of Jesus. Fly. I mean, when you understand the dominion, I know you really are. You understand that you are love itself. Oh my God. He said, Lord, should we call fire from heaven? You say, you know not manner, what manner of spirit you are. Call fire from heaven. Love. When you begin to enter into it, when it enters into your being, it will flow. So let's read that. I'll read the scripture around up here. Galatians chapter 2. Father, we give you thanks. We're entering into a place in this church. See, listen. In 12 months' time, we're entering into a place, every single person, that every man will stand tall. Philip will go here. Paul will go there. Stephen will go there. In the various places. As saviors that have risen out of Zion in practicality. I'm talking about practical things now. They will say, these guys, it doesn't matter, education is never relevant. He said, when they saw the boldness by which Peter and John spoke, they took counsel. Being unlearned men, they took counsel that they have been with Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Let's read this. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to read one translation to you. See, remember this translation. I saw it. It's called the Distilled Bible Translation. You're distilled. It says, look at, listen to this. I consider myself, listen to this, as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Cash. Listen to that. Oh. It says, listen to this. I consider myself as having died. In fact, let's round up with this. Father, we give you thanks. And now enjoying a second existence, a new life, which is simply this. Jesus using my body. It's in me. Get up. It's in me. It's in me. Ooh. Ooh. Jesus using my body. When you're conscious of that, sickness will bow. Jesus using my body. That means living through me. I'm an expression. He's in me. He's working through me. God says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our entire being. Come on. Father, we give you thanks. Let's be the friend of the Holy Ghost. Jesus using my body. Jesus using my body. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Yay. Father, we give you thanks. Ribros of Raya, Ringa Ragadish, Yonda Proto Ragadish, Yonda Ragadish, Yonda Proto Rigarinda Ragadabraya. Oh, Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Jesus using my body. I want the apostles understood this. They said, by the stretching forth your hands to heal, extenders of Christ, extensions of Christ on the earth. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. He lives in you. He lives in you. Come on. He lives in you.
He lives in you.
You're a new race that has come to the earth, extension of Christ Jesus, to manifest his life on earth. Father, would you be thanked? 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 We're going to give him thanks. What a privilege. This is the law that he had. This is the law that he had. Give him thanks. You did not work for it. You did not work for it. Christ lives in you, using your body. Wow. What a privilege. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. It's the greatest gift you can ever have. God is saying, look, cease looking at yourself with that kind of image that people have given to you. Cease looking at yourself with that image that circumstances have dictated to you. Cease looking at yourself like an ordinary person, because I am in you using your body. Think about that. Lord. Father, we give you thanks. Let's distribute the elements. The elements. The libro sopraya rinda regarish. Oh, regarish the libro sopraya. They will arrive a company of men from this assembly. They will arrive a company of men from this assembly that will put the enemy to run every single time. Listen, they will arise a company of men that will put the enemy to run, not only in their lives, but in the lives of others around them. Men that will carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread it to the world by the demonstration of signs, of wonders, and of miracles. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The days of weakness are gone. The days of weakness are gone. The new day of strength is as begun. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just read the elements. The libro sopra ya rinda ragadi shishka proto. It says, when you take of these, you show the Lord's death till he comes. This is the reason we celebrate him, because he's made all things new. Ah, it's a privilege. No, it's a privilege to have him. Oh, goodness me. Oh, goodness me. Father, we give you thanks. Give him praise. Give him praise. Jesus. Oh, give him praise. Say, he took the bread and he broke it. And they take it. This is my body in the name of Jesus. He says, as often as you do this, let's take the bread. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way he took the cup, say, I give him thanks. That this is the New Testament. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Drink the. See, as often as you do this, listen, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. You display the reason why he died, the reason why he was buried, and the reason why he resurrected. I mean, show by practical demonstration. Show means visibility. It means to show by practical demonstration the resurrection power. That Christ is in you, using your body. Father, we give you thanks. We're going to make some declarations now. You know? When I make a general declaration, now you now make your own declaration with that understanding. It's not you. Paul says, it's no longer I, it's Christ that lives in you. It's not you. Forget about you. It's not you. Christ is using your body.
It's not you.
Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you praise. I am crucified with Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. I consider myself as having died, and now I live a new level of life, which is simply Jesus using my body to express his life, to express his wisdom, to express his victory, to express his power, to express all that he is. For all things in my life are now of God. All things in my life are now of God. All things in my life are now of God. Because I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature in Christ Jesus. I belong to the class of men that have been created in Christ Jesus, and I say, I am all that the Father has created me to be. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who lives inside me. For I say, in the name of Jesus, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. I swallow up death in victory. I swallow up death in victory. I swallow up sickness in victory. I swallow up poverty in victory. I swallow up lack in victory. I swallow up dullness in victory. I swallow up every element of death in victory. For Christ the Victor lives in me. Lives in me. He lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. I can never be defeated. I triumph always in Christ Jesus. I triumph always. I triumph always. I triumph always in Christ Jesus. I triumph always in Christ Jesus. And make manifest the Father of his knowledge in every place. Father, we give you thanks. We're going to give him 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 thanks. Oh, nothing can stop you. Nothing can overcome you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. But it's Christ in you. You see in your body. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you, Lord, for the imprint of your word in our consciousness. We leave this place today with the consciousness that you are in us, using our bodies. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of wisdom, for the outpouring of revelation, for Christ dwells in our hearts. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. We worship you. We are grateful, Lord. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. To you be all the adoration. What a privilege, oh God, to have you now living in mortal vessels. Oh, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give him all the glory. What a all the glory. All the glory. Father, we give you thanks. Take our seats. From tomorrow, 15 minutes, conference, we've decided that this is not, we have to push into this thing with, as a body in unity. 15 minutes only. We'll pray the Ephesians prayer, then we'll come together and declare some. There are 155 truths here in the New Testament. We discovered that in 30 days in Him, that's what we'll call it. And when we start this, the momentum will build up so you can continue on your own. As a body, we are pushing into this thing. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us.
Amen.
Amen.